Tonight on the Worldview Report, one of the Biden regime's transgender appointees has been arrested trying to steal a lady's luggage at a busy airport. And a U.S. senator, well, he's seen enough, and he wants Sam Brinton fired from the Department of Energy and his security clearance terminated. Elon Musk spills the beans on Twitter's 2020 election shenanigans, leaving nothing to the imagination as to how the social media giant was used to help get Joe Biden elected. A federal court has struck down the U.S. Air Force's vaccine mandate on those airmen who filed for and were refused a religious exemption. And we'll explain how Israel played a key role in getting the nations of the world to offer and, in many cases, mandate the experimental COVID vaccines. All these stories and more as the Worldview Report begins right now.
This is Worldview Report with host Brennan House. Whether it is news from the nation's capital or your state capital, from the classroom to the boardroom, from national security to national and local news that impacts you and your family, Worldview Report is your trusted source for vital and uncensored news. And now, here is Brennan House.
Good evening and welcome to the Worldview Report. In a letter to Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm, Senator John Barcio, Republican of Wyoming, has demanded the immediate firing of Sam Brinton, the Biden regime's Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Office of Spent Fuel and Waste Disposition in the Department of Energy. Brinton, a transgendered person who has bragged on social media about his perverted sexual fantasies, which include bestiality, was charged with a felony theft, in fact, after he allegedly stole a woman's luggage at the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport during the busy Thanksgiving week. Senator Barcio, the ranking member of the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, has also demanded that Britain's security clearance be immediately revoked. That's according to the Daily Wire. Barcio wrote, quote, "It is in the interest of both the department's mission and our national security that the Deputy Assistant Secretary's clearance be immediately revoked. Additionally, the department should undertake all necessary steps to terminate their employment immediately," end quote. He continued, "It is imperative executive branch officials are free of a history of conduct unbecoming of federal service. The department's inability to respond to my concerns regarding the DOE's clearance process is indicative of an egregious inattention to potential insider threats with the department and the greater safety of the American public," end quote. Barcio demanded a full review of the Department of Energy's clearance screening process by February 1st. Now, a disturbing story from the Daily Wire, which reports that the federal government has awarded a grant of $5 million to a group of so-called journalists going by the name of Hacks Hackers. They will use the federal money to develop software that will encourage regular Americans to confront their friends over so-called harmful posts, helping them to, quote, correct misinformation, end quote, by replying with text suggested by a software program powered by artificial intelligence. The group is also organizing Wikipedia censors to determine who is a, quote, credible source, end quote, on vaccines and block anyone else from being cited on the online encyclopedia. Job ads for the project do not require that applicants have any experience in medicine. That list is already taking shape on Wikipedia, with liberal outlets such as the New York Times, Washington Post, Guardian, and The Atlantic all marked reliable. Conservative sites, including the Daily Wire, Daily Mail, Epoch Times, and The Federalist, are all classified as either unreliable or, quote, conspiracy, end quote. Hacks Hackers received $5 million from the National Science Foundation to develop the so-called Analysis and Response Toolkit for Trust, or ARTT. Users are encouraged to paste in their friends' Twitter and Facebook posts and the tool will tell them how harmful they are. Then it, quote, suggests relevant responses through tailored response examples or templates, end quote, that the user should copy and paste as a reply, according to a video demonstrating the software. ARTT says it uses psychological techniques to change people's views when purveyors of so-called misinformation do similar. The ARTT tool calls it, quote, psychological manipulation tactics, end quote. Another ARTT video said that while social media platforms have made efforts to combat misinformation, influencing people's views is more effective when it comes from friends than from social media companies. Take a look at this slick 3-minute propaganda video.
The internet provides us with unlimited information. The problem is that not all of that information is equal. Not all of that information is correct. Social media platforms aren't necessarily built for deep, complicated conversations. And so with all of that polarization, misinformation, it can be really difficult to navigate. Studies also show that there is increasing distrust. Who can I trust? Why should I be able to trust? One example where we see this happening is the issue of vaccine efficacy. People are asking, how do I know what is true? How can I make decisions for myself? Where are the official sources? The ART Project is aiming to build practical tools to address these challenges.
A lot of the conversations that we're having online are not necessarily with people that we know personally. So it takes some amount of effort to understand, is this a person that we trust, or is this a stranger that I'm talking to? People don't necessarily always trust the platforms themselves. They might trust a friend, or they might trust someone in their community instead. And that's why we want to focus on these peer connections when it comes to having these conversations online. Instead of something coming to you from the platform, it's actually coming to you from a friend.
ART stands for the Analysis and Response Toolkit for Trust. And at its core, it's a project about helping people respond better in online conversations around misinformation. And that includes both helping people analyze information online, but then also helping them respond to it by guiding them in how to respond, suggesting responses, and so on. The ART Toolkit has three components. The first is the ART Evaluations, the second is the ART Catalog, and the third, bringing all of that together, is the ART Guide. And you can think of the ART Guide as a set of X-ray glasses that will let you both analyze information online, but also help you in responding to it. So empathizing with people, listening to them, helping lead them to media literacy skills in ways that are respectful and formative rather than hitting one side against the other, as we see in a lot of the conversations we have online today.
To build this toolkit, we've been engaging with three important user and stakeholder groups of concerned, motivated citizens. First and foremost, community leaders, on and offline. Also, communicators, journalists, healthcare professionals, and fact checkers. Finally, researchers in computer science, media literacy, conflict resolution, and psychology. To make sure that we're building our tools to meet the needs and desires of these users and stakeholders, we have a multidisciplinary team that is iterating on all aspects of these products over and over again.
Don't they look like the type of folks you'd want to take advice from on what's true or not true on the internet? Imagine having to filter your content through these far-left indoctrinated dummies. And it's your tax dollars funding this Ministry of Truth experiment. Truly unbelievable. In other news, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals has unanimously upheld a class-wide injunction that protects U.S. Air Force personnel from the COVID-19 shot mandate, since it violates their religious freedom under the First Amendment and the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993. The Sixth Circuit affirmed the lower court's decisions, denying the federal government's appeal to require the entire class of Air Force members to obtain experimental COVID shots. After the Air Force ordered all service members to get their jabs, approximately 10,000 members requested religious exemptions. But the Air Force granted only about 135 of these requests, and only to those already planning to leave the service. By July of 2022, the Air Force had already, quote, administratively separated, end quote, 834 members. Yet, it has granted thousands of other exemptions for medical or administrative reasons. In fact, the Air Force even agreed that it has not granted any religious exemptions to anyone who does not plan to leave the service within a year. The 18 plaintiffs, well, they argued that the shot mandate substantially burdens the free exercise of their religious beliefs. The appeals court stated, quote, RFRA prohibits the government from relying on generalities to meet either part of this test. The government instead must show that its marginal interest in enforcing a mandate against a specific person is compelling and that it cannot further its interest in another way that imposes less of a burden on that person's religious exercise. The plaintiffs met their duty to prove that the vaccine mandate imposed a substantial burden on their sincerely held religious beliefs. The Air Force required them to participate in deposition-style inquiries into their beliefs, and its own chaplains found them sincere. A refusal to take a vaccine also triggers serious disciplinary sanctions, end quote. Liberty Council Chairman Matt Staver said, quote, this is a great decision that grants protection for the religious freedom of all Air Force personnel from Joe Biden's unlawful COVID shot mandate. No service member should be required to choose between service to the country and service to God. This will be a good precedent for our upcoming argument at the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals and our January trial seeking a permanent class-wide injunction for the U.S. Marines, end quote. Israel reportedly had no effective monitoring system for adverse reactions to the COVID vaccines in 2021, when the nations of the world relied on Israeli data to guide vaccine policy, including mandates. Israeli health reporter Yaffa Shiraz told Rebel News that, quote, Israel was Pfizer's laboratory, end quote, and that the FDA's decision to approve the booster shot was based on Israeli data. She added, quote, but what the world did not know is that almost for the entire year in which all the population was vaccinated, two, even three doses, Israel did not have any functioning monitoring system, end quote. Shiraz said the Israeli Ministry of Health lied to its own people and to the FDA when it claimed side effects from the vaccine were minimal and short-term. They had no way of knowing, she said. The journalist said in the interview with Rebel News that it wasn't until December 2021 that a six-month study of reactions to the vaccine was conducted, the results of which completely contradicted advice the Ministry of Health had previously given. Take a look at her comments to Rebel News.
It's quite known that Israel was Pfizer's laboratory. Pfizer's request to the FDA to approve the booster was to a great deal based on the Israeli data. But what the world did not know was that actually for the entire year in which almost the whole population was vaccinated, two or even three doses, Israel actually did not have any functional monitoring system. The monitoring was really dysfunctional.
I have all this information on my cell phone, not just because I'm a minister, but because we have a centralized digital system and a centralized digital data bank that allows us to have an updated information on the hour from all the different HMOs, from all the different vaccine stations, from all the different hospitals, directly into the Ministry of Health. This is just one example.
The Ministry of Health, the whole time, just lied, not just to the Israeli population, but also to the FDA. And many researchers actually were very, very concerned.
Shiraz says that when the results of the study were presented in May of this year, the Israeli Ministry of Health stopped the research. The journalist, whose mother was a Holocaust survivor, told Rebel News she was shocked that their own government had betrayed them by recommending and mandating vaccines using falsified information. We'll be right back after this break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm excited to announce my original My Slippers are back in stock. Last Christmas, you made them the number one selling MyPillow product, and now I've added smaller sizes, larger sizes, wide sizes, and all new colors. And with your promo code, you still save $90 a pair. What makes my slippers different is my exclusive four-layer design that you're not going to find in any other slippers. My slippers' patented layers make them ultra comfortable, extremely durable, and they help relieve stress on your feet. Wear them anytime, anywhere. You'll absolutely love my slippers, and I'm extending my 60-day money-back guarantee until March 1st, 2023, making them the best Christmas gifts ever. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen now. Use your promo code to save $90 on my original My Slippers. That's only $49.98 a pair. Quantities won't last long, so please order now.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams issued a directive on Tuesday allowing for the roundup and indefinite detainment of mentally ill individuals and people who cannot care for themselves. The mayor told the press that the city needs to do some spring cleaning and obtain more space to handle the detainees, adding that these people cannot be left on the streets and in subway tunnels. No consent is needed, he said. Anyone could be whisked away and subjected to a psychiatric evaluation. Adams stated, quote, I want to talk to you about a crisis we see all around us. People with severe and untreated mental illness who live out in the open, on the streets, in our subways, in danger and need. We see them every day, and our city workers are familiar with their stories. The man standing all day on the street across from the building. He was evicted from 25 years ago, waiting to be let in. The shadow boxer on the street corner in Midtown, mumbling to himself as he jabs at an invisible adversary. These New Yorkers and hundreds of others like them are in urgent need of treatment, yet often refuse when offered, end quote. In response, the New York Civil Liberties Union fired back at Adams and issued a statement saying that the mayor was playing fast and loose with the legal rights of New Yorkers. The organization's executive director, Donna Lieberman, stated, quote, the federal and state constitutions impose strict limits on the government's ability to detain people experiencing mental illness, limits that the mayor's proposed expansion is likely to violate. With no real housing, services, or support plan, the administration chooses handcuffs and coercion, end quote. In response to the news, some took to social media. One Twitter user tweeted the trillion-dollar question, quote, how can any of this be legal, end quote. Elon Musk confirmed on Wednesday in a stunning admission that Twitter has interfered with elections. In response to a report from Reuters about Twitter's move to free speech under Musk, he replied that, quote, the obvious reality, as long-term users know, is that Twitter has failed in trust and safety for a very long time and has interfered in elections. Twitter 2.0 will be far more effective, transparent, and even-handed, end quote. It's widely known that Twitter suppressed and censored the New York Post and their bombshell report on corrupt international business dealings and influence peddling that appeared on Hunter Biden's laptop. The report came out a few weeks before the 2020 presidential election, and Twitter, along with other social media giants, refused to allow anyone to post the article, with Twitter going so far as to suspend the New York Post's account. The Post-Millennial reports that Musk vowed to make public the internal conversations had at Twitter in 2020 regarding that censorship, which polling later showed did have an effect on the election, as voters said they may not have voted for Joe Biden had they known about the reports of influence peddling in the Biden family. This report has been verified by establishment media in recent weeks. At the time, a group of 19 current and former intelligence agents claimed that the reports about the Hunter Biden laptop amounted to nothing more than Russian misinformation. Former Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey later had to apologize in front of Congress for the suppression of the accurate and verified reports. The New American reports that three prominent physicians have filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Food and Drug Administration and the Department of Health and Human Services over allegations that those federal agencies effectively banned the use of ivermectin to treat COVID-19. The three physicians, Dr. Robert Apter, MD, Dr. Mary Talley Bowden, MD, and Dr. Paul Merrick, claim the federal government overstepped its bounds when it directed physicians and the general public, quote, not to use ivermectin to treat COVID-19, even though the drug remains fully approved for human use, end quote. During the height of COVID's hysteria, ivermectin was widely ridiculed by many in the mainstream media as a, quote, horse dewormer, end quote. Remember that? Even though it had Nobel Prize-winning pedigree for its uses in treatment for things like malaria, and it had been approved for use in humans by none other than the FDA. According to FDA attorney Isaac Belfer, the federal agency definitely rebuked the drug, but did not technically ban its use. Belfer said, quote, the cited statements were not directives. They were not mandatory. They were recommendations. They said what parties should do. They also did not say that doctors may not prescribe ivermectin, end quote. At issue are several social media posts which strongly hinted that taking ivermectin, whether provided by a physician or not, was dangerous. One tweet from August 21st, 2021 stated, quote, you are not a horse. You are not a cow. Seriously, y'all, stop it, end quote. The tweet linked to an article from the FDA titled, quote, why you should not use ivermectin to treat or prevent COVID-19, end quote. Another tweet dated April 26, 2022 read, quote, hold your horses, y'all. Ivermectin may be trending, but it still isn't authorized or approved to treat COVID-19, end quote. An attorney for the physicians, Jared Kelson, says the FDA went too far in criticizing a medication that had been proven effective in certain antiviral applications. Kelson argued that the FDA's words, quote, clearly convey that ivermectin is not an acceptable way to treat these patients, end quote. The attorney for the physicians noted if the government, quote, is going to label ivermectin a horse medicine or a horse dewormer and promulgate the idea that it is only for animals, then the natural correlation is that doctors who prescribe it are horse doctors or quack doctors, which has played out, end quote. The New American points out that the FDA and HHS were very strong supporters of the experimental COVID vaccines and have disparaged other treatment options, including ivermectin and hydrochloroquine, that don't turn profits for big pharma. The Washington Examiner reports that U.S. Air Marshals are planning to stage an open rebellion against the Biden regime over a plan that would remove 99% of commercial flights from federal protection as people take to the skies during the busiest time of the year for air travel. Dozens of federal air marshals have agreed to refuse a Biden regime order that they leave their assignments and go to the southern border, where they will drive, feed, and care for illegal immigrants due to a shortage of Border Patrol agents. Quote, the rank-and-file air marshals are going to refuse to deploy and risk termination, end quote. So said David Londo, president of the Air Marshal National Council, in a phone call with the Washington Examiner on Tuesday. Quote, you're almost going to have a mutiny of a federal agency, which is unheard of, end quote. The overseeing agency, which is the Transportation Security Administration, said in a statement provided that claims that air marshals are doing menial tasks were, quote, entirely inaccurate. does not reflect the critical and professional law enforcement role these officers perform, end quote. The administration's order would leave just one out of 100 U.S. flights with federal agents on board, 1/8 of its normal coverage. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back. Now it's time for our nightly Worldview Report commentary. Ohio parents are suing their local school board over a new transgender policy that allows students to use the bathroom and locker room of their choice based on their gender identity. A group of Muslim and Christian parents in Bethel, Ohio, filed a civil lawsuit in federal court on November 22nd against Bethel Local School District School Board seeking to halt the district's new bathroom policy. According to the Daily Wire, the parents say the policy violates their parental rights and constitutional religious rights, as well as Title IX and Ohio state law. The lawsuit filed in U.S. District Court for Southern Ohio claims the affected children, quote, hold their urine and avoid using the restroom at school if at all possible, end quote, due to the policy. If the children do use the restroom, it causes them, quote, anxiety and emotional distress, end quote, and they fear they will be exposed to the opposite sex, the suit says. One of the children, a 9th grade girl, reportedly takes a friend with her to make sure no boy, quote, violates her modesty, end quote. The Bethel School District sits just north of Dayton, Ohio, and serves nearly 1,600 K-12 grade students. The bathroom policy blindsided parents after it was secretly implemented in violation of Ohio's Open Meetings Act. That's what the parents claim in the lawsuit. A district faculty member proposed the new bathroom policy at a school board meeting in September of last year, and the change was adopted in January with no public discussion. That's, again, according to the lawsuit. The lawsuit further states that, quote, the board's actions keep the community in the dark regarding its new rules and policies for intimate facilities by refusing to answer basic questions parents need to know to make decisions about their child's education. The parental right to direct the education, safety, and upbringing of their children is the oldest fundamental right recognized by the Supreme Court, and the board's actions deny these parents the same right, end quote. Well, this is definitely a case worth following, and it may have broad ramifications for parental rights. In the meantime, more parents should follow the lead of this group in Ohio and sue their local school boards for enacting these outrageous policies. Well, that does it for this edition of the Worldview Report. Thank you for tuning in and for supporting us in our endeavor to bring you the news 5 nights a week from the vantage point of a Judeo-Christian worldview. If you appreciate what we're doing, we are listener-supported, and here's how you can support us and help yourself out at the same time. Please start by going to MyPillow.com and doing the bulk of your Christmas shopping there. Sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, mattresses, mattress toppers, robes, and so much more are available at MyPillow.com with steep discounts right now. Use that promo code B66. You get deep savings and discounts, and we get credit. A generous percentage of each purchase comes back to keep this broadcast going. So please, go to MyPillow.com and use that promo code B66 when making your purchases. You save and we get credit. Also, MyStore.com, the home for American entrepreneurs started by Mike Lindell. You'll find many great products there as well that make great Christmas gifts, including you'll find the My Coffee in light, medium, or dark roast, whole bean, already ground, coffee pods, and you can even pick up a subscription for your family member or friend, a gift that we'll keep giving all year long. MyStore.com. Again, please use that promo code B66. Also, WVWTVStore.com. That's my website, WVWTVStore.com. You'll find emergency freeze-dried food. We literally, while this broadcast was going on, received 9 pallets of freeze-dried food. 9 pallets. Again, I think we got about 9 pallets 4 weeks ago. Boom, another 9 pallets shows up. Why? Because we're burning through it. Why? Because people understand what's happening, and they understand the importance, I believe, of having food on hand that has a 25-year shelf life, so you're not under the thumb of the globalist with, well, Their manufactured great collapse. Their great collapse that is necessary for the great reset. They're deliberately collapsing our borders, our financial systems, our food supply, our just-in-time inventory structure. All of this is collapsing. They've collapsed our judicial system and crime running rampant. And of course, we don't have the national security we need when it comes to our electricity, our power grid, the threats from EMP and cyber hacking and so much more. There are a lot of reasons. There are a lot of reasons to have emergency freeze-dried food on hand, particularly when government officials are talking about rolling blackouts because of energy crisis. Well, yeah, one that was manufactured. So if you find yourself sitting in the dark without the ability to heat water and make freeze-dried food, you're going to wonder why you didn't listen and take precautions when you could. So check it out if you're interested. WVWTVstore.com. I know you can purchase it somewhere else, so thank you. Thank you so very much for purchasing it from us because it is a big part of our general operating budget. WVWTVstore.com is where you can purchase it and check it out. WVWTVstore.com. If you prefer to make your purchase over the phone, someone is standing by to help you right now at 901-468-9357. 901-468-9357. And then finally, don't forget about the WVW Foundation and your end-of-the-year giving. That foundation exists to use my broadcast, my programs, my conferences, my documentaries, to push out the truth of a Christian worldview, to help people understand the times through the lens of a Christian worldview. In fact, on Sunday nights since 2015, I've been holding a church service, a biblical worldview service, every Sunday night, with a few exceptions of holidays and things, right here on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Central Time. So again, thank you for supporting our foundation in your end-of-the-year giving at WVWFoundation.com, WVWFoundation.com. You can also donate over the phone by using that same number, 901-468-9357. And you'll also find our mailing address at WVWFoundation.com if you prefer to support us through the mail. Well, until next time, may God save America. Take care.